the wonderful late Stan Simanik.
Yeah, he was an extraordinary man, and it was always great to be in his company. And some of the best fun I ever had back in those days was negotiating with Stan for his contracts, for whether it was covering the America's Cup or doing air programs or whatever. And we'd finally get to the end of the negotiations, and he'd try and screw you into the ground and against the wall, and it was great sport. And then we'd shake hands, and I always used to count my fingers to make sure they were always still there.
We mentioned earlier about the Lamb family, and they sold the radio station, then they bought it back, etc. like that. And I was a program manager for the Lamb family's 2KO station in Newcastle, and that's where they actually started. They had that, then they bought TUE, and in those days Pat Barton came down to Sydney and helped do the top 40 charts.
Yes.
And anyhow, the reason I say that, we have phoning through John Lamb on the line right now. John, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to our show. Pete Graham here, and also a man that you may have met over the years, Mark Collier.
Hello, John. Good to hear your voice.
Yes, I was around when Mark was around.
We had some interesting times together. That was back in the 70s and into the 80s, I think, John, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then I moved to Adelaide, and then I actually was involved in selling UE to Sam Chisholm.
That would have been fun.
Oh, yes, it was. But then Bondi got it off Sam and Carrie.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I had a lot of time with Sam back in those days. He was a very interesting man to do it.
I only had a bit of time because I was in Adelaide running a TV station.
Yeah, but you were part of that network, though, that TV network with Sam, weren't you? Oh, not owned by, but an affiliate, yes, NWS9.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think it all started out of Newcastle. And you had this, I forget, what was the name of the business there that lent money?
Oh, wow. We had Elliott's Menswear.
Yeah, the menswear, and then you had a system like, not quite lay-by and not quite credit.
There was a business called Workers' Cash Orders.
That's it, Workers' Cash Orders. It's all coming back to me now.
And then we got involved when Alan Fairhall decided to enter federal politics. He had KO.
Yeah.
And because he was heading into Parliament, he sold KO and we bought KO.
Yeah. Gee whiz.
It was a very interesting time working at UE under the Lamb family. Stuart Lamb, the chairman, and...
My uncle.
Your uncle. And very, can I just say, John, very honourable family, and it was an absolute privilege to be part of that very prestigious radio station, and it still carries that brand and that loyalty and a lot of that spirit.
Yeah, well, when Pat Barton was at KO, KO had 60% of the audience share in Newcastle.
An amazing thing, an amazing thing. When I worked at KO in Newcastle, your uncle and your dad, they had a nickname for them when they walked into the building. Are you aware of that, John?
Yes, I am.
The Jockey Club?
I thought they had another name.
Let's all get together one day and have a beer. And I'll bring a microphone and we'll just record and sit down and have a great time, John.
But what I was ringing about was why Cecil Stevenson...
Oh, yes. Yeah, why did he change the call sign?
Yeah, when he got the first license, he had a business called Electric Utilities.
Yeah.
So that's why he got a U. But he changed it very shortly after because it didn't flow like UE did.
Yeah. And we're glad he changed it, and it has been flowing for 90 years.
Yes, it has, just over.
Yeah.
All right, John, good to talk to you.
Yeah, nice to talk to you.
And we'll catch up. We're all going to get together and have a little cleansing ale. We better take a break and back with more on Saturday Night Live.
And to UE is top of Sydney Talk.
Mark Collier, who was, well, one of the bosses here, and that's why I've got my suit and tie on tonight. I thought, gee, I better get dressed up out of my shorts and T-shirt, which I normally wear. And he's so kindly consented to pop in and just share some memories of his time here and the great memories that, well, you were the commander of the ship from 1977 virtually right through to, 1988. Wonderful memories. That's a long time in radio.
Yeah, it is. And it was great fun being the manager. Of course, you always answer to the board and there's always someone higher, unless you're Kerry Packer. But so much fun was spent in the newsroom. And the newsroom is perfect for anyone who has the slightest sort of touch of ADHD.
Yeah.
It was instant satisfaction. And on the top of the hour, the bottom of the hour, and if there was a big story running in between the top and bottom of the hour, you would know if you had got the story out to your listeners, that you'd got it out accurately, professionally, factually, and it was a huge amount of satisfaction and adrenaline. And if you're out at the scene of a news story and there were five other radio station reporters, you'd file your report, usually coming up to the hour so they could spread it out to the network for the hour, and then you'd sit in the car and you'd press the button and you'd go across five different radio stations and you'd know if you'd won or you'd lost. Yeah. And you'd be out there with your own resources at the same news story, and it was a source of great satisfaction.
I remember in those really vicious days, really, press conferences.
Yeah.
I won't say which radio station unplugged my microphone, but that was quite a common thing.
Okay.
You'd sit down.
Probably Terry or Sean, but let's not mention names.
You sit down thinking, wow, got all this on tape. And you go back and it's been unplugged. But anyhow, that's what it's all about. Now, Michael's phoned through here and you want to talk about Gary O'Callaghan, is that right?
Yeah, mate.
Yeah.
G'day, Mark.
G'day, Michael.
You as well.
Hi.
You just played that tape, apart from what I'm going to say about that Bruce, but I don't know what a lot of people know, that Stan Zemanek paid a lot of his bills because he was a very poor man, paid his electricity bills and other bills. Were you aware of that?
No, but I am aware that, you know, there's two sides to that person, Stan Zemanek. There's the huff and puff and the showman, and there's the gentle person.
Yeah, well, he did definitely play this guy's electricity bill.
And talking about gentle people, how gentle and what a gentle man Gary O'Callaghan is.
Oh, mate, I went down there on Australia Day because it was our wedding anniversary.
To our outside broadcast there, in the rain, in the wind and the cold.
Freezing, but it was fantastic.
Yeah.
He's just so alert and that. But you know the amazing story? You there, Mark?
I am.
Yeah. The amazing one... You'd never get away with it today. He just knew everyone. And you know when the Petrovs were going to be deported out of the country?
Yeah.
He got tipped off by ASIO and he climbed the fence at the airport to get the interview.
Yeah.
How was that?
His news judgment was absolutely extraordinary.
Yeah.
And he used to listen. I heard Rob Kinney talking about this in Stuart Bocking's show on Monday morning. Gary would be listening. He would have coming into one of his headphones the fire brigade, the police, the ambulance, and he would be relaying information coming into his studio and the newsroom simultaneously. He'd be a half a word behind the people at the emergency services talking about the information.
I know, he was unbelievable.
Extraordinary man and total gentleman.
And the thing about him, as I say, when I was out there on Australia Day, he was just so alert with what they were asking him, the questions they were asking him. Like, I think he's 82, 83 now. And it was unbelievable. And as I say, I used to listen to him before I went to school.
Yeah. We all did. We all did for all those years. The thing also, that was happening in his headphones, and while they were talking to him, you know, many different sources, he'd be on air describing things like...
Looking out over Botany Bay, and here he comes settling down towards the runway at the moment. Just watch those huge landing lights, dazzle us almost. As he swung on to face up to Mascot Airport and this beautiful jumbo. It's got to be, I would think, the British Airways 1-1. I can't quite make out in the light this morning which one it is, but he's just about to settle down onto the runway there across Botany Bay. And if you're driving along General Holmes, what a view you're going to have in a matter of moments when he gets down there to the Boeing tunnel. But look at that, like a feather, gradually settling towards the runway in the beautiful early morning light over Botany Bay. And there he is, coming down now, and a little puff of smoke, and the big jumbo is on the runway.
Hey, this is Guy Sebastian. I'd like to wish 2UE a happy 90th birthday. Congratulations on being Sydney's originals.